Welcome to Community Sports Clubs of County Louth. This is part three, the Dundalk Cricket Club. I'm Alan Byrne. It's Saturday afternoon and Dundalk Cricket Club are taking on Adamstown at the Green Road in Drumiskin.
One of the batsmen nicked it down to the keeper. Great bowling from Mohammed there. And I think that was an important wicket for us because that's the opener and one of the best batsmen they have in the team. So
this is Abdul Moeed.
The bowler's coming in from the left-hand side. And he's bowled a wee bit of a bouncer. So it came up a bit high. It got big on the batsman. And when he tried to play it, he edged it off the bat. And it went down to the keeper without bouncing. So it's in the rules of the game, it's a catch. So it's out. And it's first wicket for Dundalk.
So another 10 to go?
Another 9 to go.
Another 9 to go? Is it not 11 on each team?
There's 11 on each team, but there's 10 wickets. So because one of the batsmen at the end of the game will be left not out. So,
I spoke to Dundalk Cricket Club member Shane Gilson, who is originally from Wales.
I think you'd make a good man for doing cricket commentary.
Do you think so? Alright, okay. Coming up to bowl. And knocked for four, maybe. No. Just stopped it for four. Sajan's picked balls up and then just got to pace it back to the wicketkeeper. Position is moving round slightly, so we move one guy into mid off, slightly deeper. Coming into bowl, pitched it well up. Slip by mid wicket. No run.
Oh, that sounds great.
No, Jonathan Agnew.
Adamstown were bottom of the league and Dundalk were on the top, but the game didn't go as expected. Dundalk were all out for 111 and Adamstown were batting. Brian Feely is a local fan of cricket and enjoys watching the games at Green Road.
What's happening now? Is that
nothing. That's the end of the over.
And the over is 6 runs.
Over is 6 balls. 6 legal balls.
Right, so there was one controversial ball there as well. So was that taken again?
Yeah. The umpire signalled that it was a wide, which is described as an extra. And it means that the bowler has to has bowled out wide of the crease, wide of the batsman. And it means he has to go back and bowl it again. If the batsman gets runs off it, he gets to keep the runs as well. So it's a penalty against the bowling team, and there have been occasions here when less skillful bowlers have been on, and there have been a number of extras in an over. Instead of 6 balls, one poor fella finished up bowling 14 one day, which was embarrassing for everyone, even the watchers.
Would it not be the captain's call then, maybe to swap him midstream?
Well, he can't change him in the middle of an over unless he's injured. Oh dear. Certainly at the end, once he finishes his over, that's him finished, unless the captain asks him to bowl again. But unless he's injured, it's most unusual for him to be taken off in the middle of an over. There are occasions when it can happen, but they're fairly serious. Somebody bowling dangerously or something like that.
Dundalk Cricket Club's Liam Gaynor.
You're better off to stand in for 6 balls and get nothing, and just to keep there, you know.
Yeah. What happened there?
He was he leg before wicket? I might have been LBW. I'm not a LBW. So you're finding the rules okay?
Innings, overs. Yeah. 6 runs in it over.
In it, 6 runs in an
and
over.
It could be 40 over
match. 40 over match. This is here, yeah.
And each
6 balls from each end. He's going to bowl 6 end.
6 end.
Yeah, he's on strike now. That's the striker. He's on strike.
He's on strike. And each bowler can only run 8 overs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we have the two umpires then, the square leg umpire and the straight umpire. Yeah, keeping the guy on the score. The square leg umpire, he'll be telling him how many balls that the bowler will bowl, and he'll give him hand signals with his fingers. Yes, he's rolling. Yeah. So all the you've not the the players that the helmets, it's not compulsory, but that most players now will wear a helmet.
So what are all the positions then that the field players take up?
Well, it's the captain will decide on that, where he wants them to play. You'll have them at square leg in the slips. It's just behind the wicket, the slips, and then you have, you know, deep square leg, and it's all fairly simple when you look at it, and it makes sense.
Okay, so like you've a square leg and you've mid square legs, yes. Is it? So will he tell you you three are on?
Yeah,
mid square.
Yeah, and the captain he and the bowler will also decide where he wants the field to be positioned. He whatever way the bowler will say, he'll move the field to suit him. Depends.
Is there different size fields?
Yeah, the fields will be there'll be different sizes, but this here will be fairly standard here. And we have the artificial wicket then as well, which is fantastic. It doesn't need as much maintenance. When we hit the grass wickets, it's a major operation. You'd have three or four in a line, and you have to be maintaining them for each game. So when the artificial wicket makes a huge difference to us.
Oh, well bowled. Cracking. You can see that had a bit of swing on it as well. Yeah.
Clean bowled.
Yeah, clean bowled. Yeah, so now he's out, he's just clean bowled.
Next batsman comes in,
and the thing is with that is some of these guys can actually bowl at 70-80 miles an hour. So, you know, you've got to have the helmets, you've got to have the padding, you've got to have thigh pads, arm pads, all that kind of thing. So you're fairly decked out with padding. So it's, you know, it can hurt when it does. And especially, you don't really have padding for the front. And when it hits you on your chest or your shoulder or anything like that, it really does hurt. But you know, that's the joys of it. The best thing is when you knock a six or a four, it's a good feeling, that. Good feeling.
Oh dear. They're cracking. They're cracking. You saw what happened. One of the batsmen went charging off down the pitch, not realising that the fielders had the ball. So he was down the far end with his friend, probably having a chat, when the fielding side knocked off the wicket. He would run out, in other words, by a considerable distance, and he looks embarrassed for good reason.
So is that him done now? He's come back to change.
That's him finished, yes. And as you can see, he's delighted. Now stop. Oh, these things happen.
Germans have a word for schadenfreude.
Yes, yes, yeah. Taking joy in someone else's discomfort. It'd be a good description of this game, really.
And there's a lovely shot there again. That's heading for a four. Yeah, she's out for four. And there's the umpire signalling to the scorecard with the hand signals what a four is.
What signal has he got? It's kind of a flat
hand. Yes, it's flat hand.
At kind of midriff.
Yeah, midriff. He just waves his hand, and that's a four. Two hands over your head like that is six. And then there's also, you've also have wide ball, and then you have there's also extras you get in the game as well. Leg byes are also there if it hits off the pad. So that's another, you get a point for that as well. So that's the way it works. But the both batsmen have to be watching exactly what the other one will do. He'll call to the other batsman either yes or no to the runs. You know, don't go. You know, just that's what happens. If you don't communicate and watch the other batsman, it can be an absolute disaster.
All right, Brian.
All the best. What a fool. Look at that shot.
We heard our first year, our very first year, was purely friendlies. We had no ground, but all the clubs around Leinster were very good. They all gave us friendlies. We played about 25 matches that year, which is as many as you'd play in a season. And we were on the hunt for a ground. We, again, through casual conversation, and typically in Ireland, a conversation in a bar, we heard that the Corson Club here might be amenable to letting the ground for the summer season to us. We approached them and we just took it from there, and we're still here.
Derek Turner is the club secretary and says that there is a lot of interest, and with a couple of more people, they will be able to start a youth and a ladies team.
It's very important that we get young people locally playing, because without the youth coming up, you know, things go very stagnant, and we're all of a certain age now, let's say. Yeah. Vintage is the word I was looking for. Where we do the background work, we keep the club running, you know, get your insurance, your treasurer, your secretary, etc. But we need the players to come out and play. And oddly enough, I mean, to have a team of 11 to be available every week, you probably need a minimum of 30 members. Because, you know, we're all casual players, people have jobs, people have children, you know, births, marriages, deaths, funerals, weddings, parties. So when we try and put a team together every weekend of 11 plus a 12th man, let's say 12 people, it takes us to communicate with about 35 players to reach out to 12 that are available. So we're always looking for new members, and we'd love to think that next year we might be in a position to either start a youth team. I've had a lot of conversations with mothers and fathers this year who have 9, 10-year-old boys or girls who are interested in playing, but unfortunately not enough for us to begin a youth training night, for instance, to get them all together. So that would be one of our goals next year, a boys or a girls team, perhaps a ladies team as well.
So before the match actually starts and people arrive, who would be first here, and like what would they have to do? I think so. Was Derek out cutting grass?
I was here yesterday with Derek. We were here for about 5 hours getting the ground ready, getting the grass cut, getting the boundary out, the boundary fence, and then all the flags around the boundary. That was all done yesterday. So the captain will be here about 3/4 an hour before the game, and he'd be out on the pitch, and then the toss is taken, see who's going to bat or bowl. So the toss is taken, and then you decide on whether you're going to bat or you're going to field. So we decided the bat. Here's coming our way. He's going to catch it. Great catch. Oh, he dropped it. Oh, no. That was a ball that just dropped out of his hands. That we thought that was a catch there. Unfortunately, not. It's not as easy as it looks. It's what happens. People do. They run into the ball. You're better to stand back and watch the flight, and not run into it. He sort of ran into the ball, and it's not a good idea. Just watch the flight, and then try to get your two hands on it. A lot of people go with one hand, but you're better off to use both hands.
Abdul tells me that the DKIT Cricket Society has attracted a lot more interest due to the success of the team, and also about some of the players who were with the team in the past.
Well, one of them, one of the lads I remember, Sonny, and yeah, he was a very good bowler. Like, and you know, we had family connections with him as well. So, but it's the lads come down for college and stuff. So, you know, they'll be here for a few years, but they'll be away then after that. So, but yeah, it's great while they're here, but when they're going away, you know, we all have a big party and stuff, so it's good. Like, it's again the family connection with the players. So.
Are you studying here?
Yeah, I'm studying here in DKT. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are you studying?
Pharmaceutical science.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And is there a DKIT cricket?
There is, yeah.
Cricket in society?
There is a society, yeah. And we try and get as many lads as possible, you know, every Saturday or Friday maybe, to come down to the pitches and the facility down by DKIT Sport and get it. You know, a bit of training in or whatever.
I asked Shane if the club were on their way to having their own clubhouse.
Yeah, the dream is to actually for us older guys to see, you know, somewhere where we can call a permanent home, you know, where we can have a Christmas do and all that kind of thing. It'd be nice to see that, really would.
According to the history page of the Dundalk Cricket Club website, there was cricket in Dundalk dating back to 1853, and a second team from Dundalk Grammar School were formed in 1860. The current club was formed in 2009 and has its origins in the Dundalk Crusaders Cricket Club, who operated out of Dundalk Rugby Club in the early 90s. I remembered seeing a photograph appearing on the front page of the Dundalk Leader depicting a game of cricket in the car park of the old shopping centre. It was taken by Neil and Ruth McCarty.
But if my memory is right, it was on a Sunday, and we were just going over the Hill Street Bridge. You know, the old shopping centre on the left there and the empty car park at the far side, and we saw what looked like cricket going on, and we did a double take. So, and rather than a wicket, they had a wheelbarrow, an upturned wheelbarrow. That was where the ball was received into, believe it or not, because it was on tarmac, so they had no way of putting, what do you call them, stumps, isn't it, into the ground. So the second week we were passing, we decided to stop and interact with them, and our boy was with them. I don't know what age he was then.
He might have been 8 or 9. We were homeschooling him at the time, and anything out of the ordinary or anything that would be different, we would try and involve him with it, just for the experience. So I'm mad about taking photographs and videos anyway, so we wanted to stop and have a chat and see if he could have a wee go.
The guys were absolutely delighted to let him try to bowl a few balls. I mean, and it was a bit of crack. They were very accommodating, and then they let him hold the cricket bat for a while as well. So the photograph we took, I don't know if it was that day, either that day or the previous Sunday, I forget which, but we thought, let's send it into the local paper, The Leader, and they published it. And I heard then out of that there was even more interest. But what impressed me most was that the lads were from different countries like India, Pakistan, and they were all playing cricket together in Dundalk, and that was just a wow moment for me.
As a result of this, we ended up getting Sean a children's cricket set, wee wooden cricket set, and he used to play with his friends in front of the house here on the green. So it was very strange to see a wee bunch of boys playing.
Yeah, I do remember the time whenever we used to play in the Tesco thing. My friends were there. I used to play as well. My dad used to bring me down. But I only joined the club a few years later. You know, when I first started off, I wasn't really serious about it. And then when I kind of realised that they're playing games and it's good success, I was like, I want to be a part of this. You know, and it's been, I haven't looked back since. I just...
I went along to an information day hosted by Dundalk Cricket Club in the Spirit Store on George's Quay, Dundalk. And while we were waiting for Ireland cricket players Kevin O'Brien and George Dockrell, who were coming down for a photo shoot, I met club members. First up was Glenn Armstrong from Australia.
What attracted you to cricket as a youngster?
I suppose it was just, it was easy enough to get involved with. You don't have to have any high skill level to begin, and it was everywhere when I was a kid growing up in Australia. So
when you say everywhere, does that mean that it gets prominence on, say, TV or radio or newspapers?
Absolutely, in the newspapers, TV coverage is, yeah, we live for it, sort of thing. Yeah, and just, I mean, out on the streets, if you're in your local neighbourhood, the other kids, you get together and have a game together in the street. You know, it was just good fun, yeah. And it's simple. It's not expensive sport to start. You don't need a lot of equipment. And, yeah, and that's one thing I'll say with our club is you can come out with no experience at all, no equipment at all, turn up and just, yeah, have a game. See if you like it. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you don't, you haven't lost anything, have you?
Ian Chong is the Dundalk Cricket Club chairperson and joined in 2011. I asked Ian what age he was when he began to play cricket.
I would say probably 8, 9 years, probably even earlier than that. I mean, I grew up in Jamaica at one stage as well during my early years, and that obviously is not too much dissimilar to the Aussies, whereby you just get a ball or a bat as soon as you can hold it, literally, like, you know. So when I came back to London to live, when I would have been about 10, it was just natural. You just play over the park with a few friends, and we got spotted by a park keeper there who said, why don't you guys just join the local club? And it's as easy as that, and that's what happened. And so, and then when I joined a senior school, that was one of the sports they would play during the summertime. I used to live in North London, and I would spend all my summer school holidays going down to Lord's Cricket Ground. It was one bus route, probably take about 45 minutes, and I'd be there. Spent many, many summers at the ground and would have seen a lot of different teams. And there's nothing like seeing a team and seeing play live. You know, it's a big, big background to kids playing the game, which we don't see over here, but it will happen because it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, growing sport in Ireland at the moment. And so there's, even if you look at our own club, there's more and more youngsters coming on. But it's such a multinational club at the moment. You are Indians, Pakistanis, people from Nepal, Aussies here, English, Bangladesh, even got a Welshman somewhere along the line from the valley. So there's a whole heap of different people.
Seamus McDermott started to play cricket in his 30s, and I asked how he measured his fielding, batting and bowling against his teammates who had grown up with the game.
Well, I always thought of myself, I'd done athletics when I was a young lad, and I was always fairly fast on my feet, so the fielding was where I concentrated initially, running, catching balls, they say that catches win matches, so I was quite happy to do that role. I could bowl a bit then as well, but bowling's very strenuous. It's very hard on the joints, so that's faded. Batting would be an issue for, I think, most players. It's a skill, it's almost an art in itself. And any man who's involved in cricket and says he's a good batsman, he needs to prove that on a week-by-week basis. So
it's the best seat in the house, as Peter Chu, the umpire coach, says, and you get it free.
That's Fergus Boyle, one of the original 90s Crusaders team, talking about being an umpire.
A match or a game of cricket has two umpires. One would, and they take alternate overs. As the bowler runs in, you'll see an umpire standing. He's called bowler's end umpire. And to his right or left, at the other set of stumps, you'll see another umpire, and he's non-striker's end. They are the sole arbiters of the decision, and they're there to uphold the ethos of and the spirit of cricket and ensure that it's played within the laws of cricket. We're lucky in the club. We have two qualified umpires, myself, Fergus Boyle, and Michael Mullen, who's an awful lot younger. We did our exams with the Leinster Cricket Union, passed them, and in the last 2 years I've umpired up to 30-35 matches in different levels. Leinster Cricket have 16 divisions. Obviously, the top umpires and the more experienced umpires get Division 1, 2 and 3. But I've cut my teeth in many divisions, and it's really worthwhile. Here is one of our real good players, Cecile, and he'll just tell you how he came to join us as a member of Dundalk Cricket Club.
I'm from India, and I'm doing my mechanical engineering in DKIT. Yeah, I used to play cricket a bit in India. Yeah, then I found like there is even a cricket club in DKIT. So then I kept googling about the cricket in Dundalk. So I just found a Facebook page, and you know, I found a website and everything. And then I kept contacting Derek for my first year, like 2014 till 15. It's really nice to play here.
What age were you when you started playing cricket?
Really, when I played cricket, I was like 3 years old. Like, yeah, it was like I was 3 years old, and I keep playing cricket all my life till now. Like, my dad's, like, my complete family, they're, like, playing cricket all their life. So I keep continuing their legacy, and I keep playing cricket too.
I asked Cecile what cricket gear he brought with him on match day.
Being a batsman, like, I can't call myself as a batsman. I'm an all-rounder. Like, I do take my helmet, I do take my bat, I do take my pads, I do take my gloves, I do take my guard. Yeah, these are the main things, like, I do take with me. Along with that, I will be having, like, a couple of balls, like, you know, just to practice before I get onto the field. Yeah, that's my main equipment, like, which I carry along to the ground in the kit bag, yeah.
Gerry Murphy, a founder member of Dundalk Cricket Club, has been following cricket for over 60 years.
I mean, I attended my first test match, God bless us and save us, in 1957. And, like, here we are.
Tell us about that.
That was actually at the Oval, the West Indies. My two older brothers brought me along. And the West Indies, a great West Indian side of... The West Indies had come to England in 1953 as a very new test side as well. And suddenly they ran England very close, and they actually beat them twice in two of the test matches. So we went along in 57, going along to the Oval to see these guys actually playing. Before this, it was radio. The only thing that we had, only method we had of listening to cricket was on the radio. But to actually go along to see this thing happening, you know. And so it was a nice, for me, it was a nice round way of doing it. From the Oval in 1957, 50 years later, to be in Sabina Park in Kingston on the day that we beat the Pakistan. It really made that whole 50-year thing look, it was worth it, you know.
Ireland qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 2007 and has since played in the 2011 and 2015 tournaments. Ireland was awarded test status by the International Cricket Council on the 22nd of June 2017. This means that Ireland will play against fellow new member Afghanistan, as well as India, South Africa, England, New Zealand, Australia, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, West Indies, Bangladesh and Zimbabwe.
If we're going to eventually, establish ourselves, as the aim is to become the fourth biggest sport in the country. And if we're going to do that, we have to get into areas like that. I mean, at the moment, cricket is basically centred in Dublin, in the northwest, where it's very strong. And
the northwest of the country,
up in rural area, Derry particularly, Derry Tyrone, that whole area, they have a blend of immigrants and the locals. And I think that has to be the idea, that we're going to just build it by using local talent. It needs the blend of the immigrant lads. It also gives the immigrant chaps a great chance to integrate with Irish society. You know,
Ireland cricketer Kevin O'Brien, whose father Brendan captained Ireland, recalls when he, along with his brother Niall, played in 2007, and when Ireland beat fourth-placed Pakistan.
It's the first year we played in the World Cup. On St. Patrick's Day 2007. You know, we beat Pakistan. Niall got 72, won us the game. So I suppose that was kind of the birth of Irish cricket on a world stage. And I suppose I was very lucky and fortunate to be there on the day. So, we've come a long way since then. You know, 2011 in India, 2015 then in Australia, and you know, becoming the 11th Test nation. So, it's come a long way in 10 years, and hopefully we can continue to grow the game at our level, the international level, but also, you know, the grassroots is key to that.
Ireland off-spinner George Dockrell talks about giving youngsters a chance to try out cricket in schools.
I think a big thing, as you say, with the grassroots is getting to the schools, getting kids to play cricket. You know, quick cricket's one of the formats they do with kids, and it's quite quick, it's quite fun.
Could you describe that for me?
So a lot of the time with the kids, you know, you try and keep rules to a minimum, and you just have the stumps each end and bats, and you know, you play hit and run, and you get the kids into it that way. And again, it's simple rules. If you hit it and someone catches it, you're out, and if it hits the stumps, you're out. But other than that, it is quite a fun, simple game, and a lot of the time you get kids into it that way, and then they realise what a great sport it is.
It's also a sport where boys and girls can play it, you know, together. It's non-contact. So you can have, you know, girls and boys of similar ages playing. So it's very safe from that regard, from the parents' point of view. I think it's also very important that, you know, the local schools, as George pointed out, you know, trying to get into the schools, and you know, if you can get one person or you know, one or two teachers driving it from inside the school, you know, that's going to help as well. So the important thing is to try and get, you know, help from the local development officers here in Leinster, and you know, even, you know, if they can't devote as much time as they would like, you know, you're not too far from Belfast and the Northern Cricket Union. You know, they might be able to give you a dig out, you know, get development officers down here to get more kids playing, you know, to coach the teachers in the schools so that they can run, you know, a very simple game of cricket. You know, you don't need a lot of equipment to run a game. You know, you need 2 bats, 1 tennis ball, and you know, 3 plastic stumps at each end. So that's all you need to, and the kids can, you know, run around. You can play on any field you want. You know, it doesn't have to be a cricket pitch, Astro hockey pitch, Astro Gaelic pitch. You know, a grass Gaelic pitch, a rugby pitch, anywhere.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's different ways of going about it, and I know my club did a fantastic thing where there was the mothers and daughters game a couple of weeks ago in Leinster, and it was great to get people in who had actually never played before, maybe it was the daughters who were actually the ones who were playing and the mothers came down, and even vice versa in some cases. But it is a simple and fun game to play, and the social aspect of it is probably what keeps people around, because it can be a great fun evening.
I would like to mention Pat Kavanagh, who is the club president. Pat is from Wolverhampton and has lived in Dundalk for more than 40 years. Pat played minor county cricket and is held in very high esteem by members of the club. I was asked also to mention Louise and Deborah Chandler from St Vincent Secondary School Dundalk for establishing a girls' cricket team.
We were up at the DKIT, weren't we? Do you remember that when we used to practice? And all we had was carpet down on the Gaelic pitch, and we were practicing, and then we got this...
My thanks to Abdul Moeed, Shane Gilson, Brian Feely, Liam Gaynor, Derek Turner, Ruth and Neil McCarty, Glenn Armstrong, Ian Chong, Seamus McDermott, Fergus Boyle, Cecile Dev, Jerry Murphy, and to Kevin O'Brien and George Dockrell. Dundalk Cricket Club is part 3 of a 6-part series for Dundalk FM entitled Community Sports Clubs of County Louth. This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.